On Sunday, we began to talk about prayer as one of the keys to flow with the Spirit of God. Prayer as one of the keys to flow with the Spirit of God, and we talked about the spirit of prayer. Praise the Lord. Talked about the spirit of prayer, and we said that one of the major ways, amongst all the other ways we've talked about before, to activate the flow of the Spirit in your life is by a passionate devotion to prayer. And we said the Holy Ghost is the spirit of prayer. Zechariah chapter 10 from verse 12, it says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication." In other words, the spirit of prayer. And then I began to show you that even when the Holy Ghost first came, he has always been there, but when he came to, as it were, inaugurate the church in Acts chapter 2, what were they doing? They were praying. And after he came, he made them even pray much more. And then we began to talk about the effect of the spirit of prayer, that when the spirit of prayer comes upon you, it produces divine intimacy with God. It produces divine intimacy with God. Then we said it produces spiritual edification. And then we stopped at supernatural preparation. Amen. Now, let me just throw a little light on some things before we go into the emphasis of today. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 1 from verse 11. Mark chapter 1 from verse 11 to verse 12. Well, let's read to verse 13, but Mark chapter 1 from verse 11. This was when Jesus was being baptized. In Mark chapter 1 from verse 11, it says, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Verse 12 says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Driveth him into the wilderness. Now look at verse 13. It says, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." Now, if you read Mark chapter 1, verse 11 to verse 13, you will just think, why would the Holy Ghost just set up Jesus? Why did they just set him up to go into the wilderness to be tempted? Were you planning for him to fail or to fall? Are you with me? But if you compare it to other renditions, like the other synoptic gospels, look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew 4, verse 1. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Verse 2, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Verse 3, "When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God." So, as it were, the tempter was going to come to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days as a supernatural preparation for the temptation that was coming. Are you with me? Are you with me? When last did the Holy Ghost drive you to pray and fast to prepare for something coming? There are some challenges that will be coming, eh? And God knows that you need more spiritual weight to deal with it. Let me tell you, there are some battles that God will have to prepare you ahead of time. You know, I heard a testimony from a man of God in the United States. If you have ever heard about what they call the 9/11 explosion, September 9th, right? Okay, September 11th. That was in 2001, Abby. September 11th. So they call it 9/11. September is the 9th month of the year. So 9/11 explosion, where the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center in the U.S. was being bombed by, is it Al-Qaeda, right? And this Islamic fanatics. Now, the pastor said that January that year, they were praying. And during the prayer session, there was a pull within them to pray and fast more. And they were praying and fasting. So from 1 week to 2 weeks, to 2 weeks to 3 weeks, to months. And then in the prayer and fasting, they discerned that something is coming. And the way to prepare for what is coming is to build a hostel that can take 5,000 people. Listen, they bought beds. They bought food materials. They bought clothes. They were responding to the pressure. See, it was so much on them, and they began to cry. Him and the pastor said, they will come tomorrow. They feel like praying again. They will come next tomorrow. They will pray about it. And after about 2 to 3 months of that kind of travail, they just knew that we should set up a hostel. And so, for 6 months, they were setting up the hostel, built everything, stocked food. And they were wondering, why is this pressure so much on us? And then, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, the explosion happened. It was so chaotic. People were running. That whole environment was destroyed. And the only available hall or the only available facility to take the number of people that needed help was the church. Are you seeing this? The church came under global recognition in 24 hours. Where everybody was just going there. They fed. So they now knew, oh, this was what the Holy Ghost began to prompt us to do. There are some phases in your life that if you don't prepare well, they will meet you unawares. If you don't allow this Holy Ghost to furnish preparation. So as a Christian, you must have regular times where you are driven by the Spirit to pray. I know that I needed to emphasize this more. That's why I decided I would do Spirit of Prayer again, part two. Because we are living in a day where people are just, see, I am discovering we are more distracted in generation than we think. We are so distracted. We are just scrolling on social media, on TikTok, Facebook, watching things. That's why you need to fast. So that you can pick new things. When last did you pick new things? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 26. You know, I was trying to break it down on Sunday. Romans 8 26. But let me read from verse 21. Can you give me what translation now will help communicate? Ah, Jesus. Let me read from verse 22. NLT, Romans 8, 22. It says, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too await with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. Please, are you with me? Let's read on. Now, everybody read from if. 1, 2, 3, go. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Verse 25. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Right? So see verse 26. It says, the Holy Spirit helps. King James says, likewise. He says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You know, I told you if you go to older translations like Weymouth. Okay, let's just go on. It will say, with groans which cannot be expressed in understandable words. What does this mean? It means that just the same way we are hoping for a new body and we are waiting for it patiently, even though we have the Holy Ghost within us, it helps us to wait for what is coming. In the same way, the Holy Ghost within us can help us perceive things in the future and prepare us as we await for it. Are you getting this? I'm going to go back to this later in this teaching. But I feel like emphasizing it again. Supernatural preparation. When last did you have a feeling like, I need to separate myself for a new level? You can just sense it's time for a change. And you separate yourself and you begin to pray in the Spirit. And while you are praying in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost now begins to show you what you must do. I'll get to it. But are you with me? Supernatural preparation. And I gave you examples how that when you prepare supernaturally, when the time is right for that thing to happen, because you are prepared supernaturally, the Lord will, you have already arranged the frequency. It will arrange itself to the point where just at the nick of time, are you with me? Just at the nick of time. You are on spot with God. I gave you instances of in Luke chapter 2 from verse 25 to 29. It talks about Simeon. He was a devout man who was waiting on the Lord. He was a man of prayer. And he was waiting for when he will see the Messiah just before he dies. And he had been waiting all his life. And the Bible says that the parents of Jesus brought their baby into the temple. Brought baby Jesus into the temple. And the Bible says, at that instant, he coming in by the Spirit. Okay, look at what NLT says. It says, then the Spirit led him to the temple. Give me King James. King James is sweet. He's sweet. King James used to give you the steez, the scriptural steez. He says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. My question was, where was he? As at the time when the promise, the fulfillment of the promise he has been believing God for was, that somehow he was navigated to that place. There is a way a man will prepare in the place of prayer. You can never be caught off guard. Even when you are in tight corners, you can never, when I mean never, hey God, there are things I may tell you, you'll be afraid. Okay, I've given some before. I've shared this one before. At least, maybe the one I was trying to say may be too complex. You may not understand. So let me give you one that you can relate with. Earlier this year, my car had an accident. Serious accident. I couldn't use it for about four months, in fact. And then, because of the nature of the kind of ministry God has committed to us, I have to travel a lot. And many times, when I travel from Port Harcourt, Lagos, or other places, when I'm coming to Abuja, I have to start struggling to get like a cab. Are you with me? Like a car or a cab to take me to my residence. But I noticed something. It just dawned on me that every single time I used the plane and I was coming into Abuja, something always happened supernaturally. At a point, and I saw to me, say, Pastor, just accept it. This is who we are. The first one, I came down from the plane. As I was already thinking in my mind, how will I now start going down to where they book a cab? I will book a cab. Okay, no problem. There's no problem. I will get it. A friend of mine just saw me and said, Pastor David, what are you doing here? He said, what side are you going to? His house, the place he was going to. Yeah, you have to drop me first to. He said, no problem now. Let's just go. He carried me like that. The second time, I got a cab, booked a cab. But now the price was high and I was looking for somebody to pay with. I said, how will I pay 30,000 naira from Nnamdi Azikiwe Airport to Lokogoma? That's a lot of money. Are you with me? So I was like, I just asked around, is there anybody? Then one woman was just complaining. Said, what kind of money is this? She said, even if they divide it into two, a whole 15,000, how would I pay 15,000? She now said, you know what? I will join you. So she joined me. So my mom was like, the way this woman is complaining, God, I beg. She was just complaining throughout. What kind of thing is this? Why is this country turning into safe? He said, I beg, let them go and drop you. I said, ma, please, I think they should drop you first. Because I see you've been really stressed. I hope there's no problem. She said, there's no problem. It's just this country. Only to drop her. She just walked out and said, you know what? I've paid for you. I said, ma, please. I came out from the car. I said, please, ma, I don't understand. What did you say? She said, I paid for you. She said, I don't know. I can't. The woman is telling me, I don't know. I cannot explain, but I am pulled. Can I shock you? That thing happened more than once, almost three times. When he got to the bar, I said, okay, this is me. This is how I am. Even the new venue, the person, the agent was saying, I don't even know why. Why is it that we just want to help you? Why? The person was telling me, it's your face. Somebody else will go and receive a different response. When the person is prepared by prayer, look at, he says, this man came in at that instant. Are you with me? I pray for you. Let the spirit of prayer in Christ Jesus rest upon you. Let it rest upon you. Let it rest upon you in the name of Jesus. Now, the real emphasis of what I want to share today, God, you will understand in Jesus' name. The spirit of prayer upon the believer is the way we give birth to supernatural things on the earth. The spirit of prayer upon the child of God is the way we produce supernatural things on the earth. Please, are you with me? Because prayer is earthly permission for heavenly intervention. Earthly permission for what? Heavenly intervention. Have you ever seen that verse of the Bible in Psalm 115 verse 16? It says, the heaven is the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Have you seen it before? You know, people say things like, if there is a God, why is this world like this? Why are there wars in the world? Why is there chaos in the world? If there is a God, they are trying to blame God. But look at what it says. It says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. If you check very well, everything that resides in the heavens has not gotten any problem. The sun, it comes when it's supposed to come. It goes back when it's supposed to go back. The cloud, are you with me? It's no one day the cloud said, I am tired. Or the sun said, I'm tired of coming. Worst case scenario, eclipse of the sun, eclipse of the moon, and that's it. You wait for another 20-something, almost 50-something years to see it. Consistent! Because that's the realm of God. Oh, yeah, come to the earth. You know, before I used to say, what about natural disasters? I discovered, that even what we call natural disasters are the result of human activities. They said there is a way human beings will do oil exploration and do all those work on the sea. The sea will begin to react. Are you with me? The sea will begin to react. You have flooding. Even what we call natural disasters, many times it is the work of men. What does that tell you? It means that if you don't call God in, God will not come in. If you don't call God in, God will be watching you. You say, I gave it to you. It's your own. That is why even for Jesus to come, he has to become a man. Because man is the only being that has legal permission here. Are you following this? If God wants to change things on the earth, he needs a man. He needs a host. Let me tell you something. If Satan wants to operate on the earth also, he needs a man. He works with men. So, The spirit of prayer upon us is the way we give birth to what I can call divine birthings. Say after me, divine birthings. Look at Galatians 4 verse 19. It says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. That means, listen, for somebody to be saved, number one, there has to be prayer. I am telling you, because God, we have to pray so that God opens the person's eyes to see the knowledge of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is to them who the God of this world has blinded their eyes. It says, but if our gospel, which is good news, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So there has to be a revelation. So even as we preach, God has to open the eyes of people to see. To see that man is in sin and cannot pay for his sins. Man is in sin and cannot pay for his debt. Only the sacrifice of Christ. A sinless sacrifice. You know, so there's something I call the logic of redemption. Even me, it took me a while to understand it. For instance, when we talk about the deity of Christ, God in flesh, you know why that is important? See, if man committed sin, man is the one that deserves to die, right? For man to be free, he needs a ransom. And that ransom must not be part of the sin. Are you with me? For instance, if you kidnap a person, it's not the person who is kidnapped that will go and bring the money. Because you are part of the people in chains. So are you with me? For God to rescue mankind, it has to be somebody who is not connected to the sin of mankind. That is why it must be the virgin birth. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. But we need to pray that the eyes of men will be open to see. He says, my little children, whom I travel in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So he prayed for them to be born again, and now he's praying that Christ will be formed in them. Look at Romans 8 verse 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs. Are you seeing this? Look at it in New King James Version, please. New King James Version. New King James Version. Yes. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Say, I'm not birth pangs. I'm talking to you in what you can call, it's not too deep, but it's for you to mature as a Christian. These are kind of the things that help you mature as a Christian. Now, this kind of prayer causes changes in natural things. Before we talk about supernatural things and destiny things, it causes changes in natural things. Look at Acts chapter 12 from verse 1. Acts chapter 12 from verse 1. It says, read with me, 1, 2, 3, go. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the Passover, bring him before the people after the Passover. You know why I said you have to be careful with translations? This one says 4 squads. If you check original King James, it says 4 quaternions. And that's important. That's an important detail. Quaternions is a group of 4. So when it says 4 quaternions, it's 16 people. Are you with me? See, it's 4 quaternions. It's 16. So the 16 soldiers were guarding one man. There is no way you want to escape. How do you want to do it? Now look at verse 5. Therefore Peter therefore was kept in prison. But read with me. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. He's called without ceasing. That's where we got straight prayers from. There are things that if you want to shake, you want to change. When you have destiny threatening things, it's not the prayer of, okay, we'll pray. It's not a prayer point. It's a prayer project. You start and say, we will not stop until we see it. Those kind of prayers, you need ample time, because you cannot be praying that prayer when Peter is already there, put knife at his neck. Because by the time if they bring him out, if that Easter day comes and they bring him out, that's the end. When you begin to mature in spiritual things, you will know that responding fast is important. He said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without sitting of the church. Somebody comes and threatens your mother, threatens your parents, and say, is it me? In 7 days' time, you will see. Eh? Okay, I take my own 7 days. Let's see who we see. Therefore, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without season. So, let me tell you the interesting thing. James, the James that was taken here was the one that was following Jesus in the mountain. God was still God. They killed James. There is a way you'll be seeing your life going like this. You say, no. God will be in heaven. He'll be looking at you. Because the earth has been given to the children of men. The heavens are the Lord. You know what God will now do? He will start stirring you up to pray. Because he wants to intervene. Are you with me? He will start giving you nudge. No, this thing cannot continue like this. Verse 6. Everybody, verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go, read with me. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Now, everybody read the last part. And his chains fell from off his hands. The angel did not try to break the chains. There are places as he prayed and got to that point, the angel that responded to that kind of prayer, chains do not stand before them. You know why sometimes I lead us to pray about matters that concern the church? You know, even the instruction I gave that every member of the church should give, do you know why? It's not because, if I want to say what I want, you may call it pride, but it's not because I cannot pray alone and see the result. It's that I'm trying to teach you how to make things happen. Somebody was talking to me the other day in our political church. He said, Pastor David, I want to say something. He said, since I started attending this church from the very first day, 1st of September 2019, there is nothing we said we wanted to do as a project, a venue. And there is nothing we said we wanted to do that we have not done. He said, all the things you said, it has happened. I said, shall just be paying attention to the pattern. If you notice the pattern, I will say, God is leading us to do this. There will be a divine leading. Number two, I will call for prayers. I don't know who has noticed the pattern. Yes, then I will be saying, okay, we will partner, but supernaturally. Somehow. No one person will be saying it's because of me. Many times, even the people that we sacrificed, God will move them. God will move them. From there, strange doors will begin to open for them. Strange things will begin to happen in their lives. So I told myself, as I was praying, I said, let me be doing this thing publicly. Let these people be seeing how this thing is happening. Let me tell you something. If God has a plan for your life and you keep on praying about it, it must happen. It must happen. Because one of the things prayer will do, it will begin to condition you to move in the direction of that thing. You may not have all the resources, though, but God can pull the person that has the resources to you. Are you with me? Well, let's go on. Now, read on. Acts chapter 12, from verse 6. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind on thy sandals. Have you read verse 7? Verse 7, okay. Verse 8 now. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So the angel carried him out and followed him and wist not what he was done was true. But he thought he saw a vision. Ah, I pray for you. You will step into testimonies that you will think you are dreaming. Yeah. You will step into testimonies, it will look like you are dreaming. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Verse 10. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So when the angel brought him to the point where you are sure of this place, the angel left him. And that's the teaching I will do later in July. God will not do for you what you ought to do for yourself. But God will do what you cannot do. Are you with me? God will do the one that you cannot do. Look at verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. See, people can expect rubbish, nonsense to happen in your life, but let me tell you, you can change your expectation. Hey! Now look at verse 12. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Do you know what it means? The answer came to them. Ay, God. They were still praying. The answer navigated and came and met them. But can I ask you a question? Something that people don't think about. What about the 16 soldiers? What about the 16 soldiers? I thought Herod was very sure that with the 16 soldiers I have put in place, there is no way this guy is coming out. Do you know what that means? All the things you think are the obstacles that are bent on destroying you and keeping you down, just pray. You will discover that the obstacle is not a factor. The obstacle is not a factor. The obstacle is not a factor. Are you with me? The lack of funds is not a factor. The lack of connection is not a factor. Are you with me? All the things you would have said that are the reason why it will keep you down, they are not a factor. Just engage God. You can bet a divine intrusion. Oh my God. Some of you will shift some things to do. Adeboye, you give one testimony one time. This thing works in every way. He was doing a PhD thesis one time. And he had been trying. At some point, he got stuck. And he left it and began to pray in the spirit. He prayed and prayed in the spirit. After a while, it was as though a screen just came into him and just flashed like this. He said, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do now. Put some of the equations here. Put the equations here. Connect it like this. That's it. He said, that thesis was such a groundbreaking work. Some of you know that. That man was almost a professor of mathematics. That was the thing that helped him in his doctorate. The Holy Ghost has all the answers. You can shape natural things. Also, when the spirit of prayer comes upon you, you will bet the will of God on the earth. Look at Ezekiel 22 verse 30. He says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The will of God. You know, in this, see, oh God, many people don't really understand what it means where God puts you as a burden bearer of his will. Can God count on you and say, see what's going to happen to this person in the next 5 months? Begin to intercede right now. Begin to intercede. There are some of them that are so urgent and so serious. If you don't start early, you may lose the person. The reason why many chaotic things happen to people, you know what it means when God is saying, I sought for a man? It means that there are not many people listening. God, they find people. People that can respond to prayer. I will share a testimony with you, a story. I think it was Kenneth Hagin and his wife. They were pastoring the church. Around 3 a.m., the husband woke up and began to pray. And as he prayed, they had a nod. We need to pray for this guy. Let's assume his name is Ralph. So they began to pray for Ralph. He prayed and prayed and prayed. The wife woke up too and said, she has a strong pull to pray for Ralph. After a while, another member of the church called Pastor Kenneth Hagin. He said, Ralph is in my mind. This guy is on my mind. Let's pray for him. Say, ha. Me and my wife, we just woke up right now to pray, and they began to pray. Another person called. About four of them were just praying like that. The Ralph, he was having a feeling to pray. He said he woke up, but then he slept back and had a dream. In the dream, he went to office, to the office, and you know those kind of jobs that are engineering related, where you have to climb something like a payloader and all of those things. You go to a height and do some work there. You know what they do when people are fixing lights on all these high poles on the road, that kind of thing. So he said he had a dream. In the dream, he got to the office. His boss said, climb this elevator or escalator. Let it take you up. You connect this thing and come down. But in the dream, he saw himself climb the escalator, and another pole fell and cut off his neck. Cut off his neck, and his head fell, and he died. And so, what I'm sharing with you happened real life. Oh, real life. And so, he woke up from the dream and said, ha, what kind of dream is this? He went to the office. Lo and behold, his boss was dressed the exact same way he saw in his dream. He saw that they were working on that thing he saw in his dream. Ha. The boss now called him, Ralph, climb this escalator, go and tighten this thing. He just said, sir, I cannot. He said, what do you mean? The boss began to shout at him, what do you mean? How can you say you cannot? He said, sir, I cannot, sir. He said, why? He said, sir, I had a dream. And in the dream, I climbed the escalator, this pole fell and cut off my neck. He said, don't worry, we'll take care of everything. Somebody else said, why are you so suspicious? He said, all these fanatics. Another man came, climbed the escalator, fixed the thing. That pole fell and cut off his neck. I'm talking about real life. It happened in the U.S., real life. So he came to share the testimony with his pastor. The pastor said, God woke me up to pray. God woke my wife up to pray. This person woke up to pray. That person woke up to pray. Because God sought a man and found them. Some of you, things in your family, God has been nudging you. Pray about that thing. That your brother, that your mom, this one, your this. But just, you say, they are fine now. They are okay. God is telling you, the thing is that you don't know what to pray for as you ought. You are not seeing the future. Are you with me? I sought for a man. I remember one time in the university. Hey, God. I was doing technical drawing. And there was a lady that passed me. She just passed me. And then I've already begun to work with God to a large extent. As she passed me, I had a vision straight up. I saw her mom walking down a hill. And she was carrying a lot of load on her head. And it was bending her head like this. So I called her. I said, please, call your mom. Call your mom, please. And please pray for your mom. And I prayed with her. Lord, mommy is preserved. She went and called the mom immediately. And the mom said, I'm fine. No, I don't have anything. I said, mom, is anything happened to your neck? No issue. So she came back and met me. And I said, sir, with all due respect. I said, no problem. It's fine. 2 weeks later, I was just going normally on my own with my, what they call, technical drawing board. And I just saw them running to me. Davido! Davido, come on! She was just, I'm like, what's the problem? Why so hysterical? She said, it's my mother, oh, that thing you said. My mother fell, oh, her neck, oh. I said, well, yeah, let's pray. So they're praying. Mommy was healed. By the next semester, mommy came to see me. Oh. Say, let's go and find that pastor. Let's go on. See, man, I think they were also in the spirit because that time I was broke. In fact, not broke, I was broken. You know, there are different levels. When you have 1K left, you are broke. When you have minus 10K, you are broken. And so then, no, not now. I mean, almost 15 years ago, somebody gives you 15,000. That solves all your life problems. That you can use and buy jet. But my point here is, God knows the future. And he needs men who can intercede. When last did God begin to move you? Pray for this person. Intercede. You know, something happened to me yesterday. I wanted to. So after the prayer and fasting in the evening, around 6 p.m., I was with some brethren. And they told me, Pastor, we have fried egg and succulent bread. I'm like, Jesus, Lord, this fasting will be, this, I will break this fasting properly. As I wanted to go and eat, I felt the Holy Ghost say, no, sir. Hey! I said, gee, the thing they were frying was entering my nose. I just quietly left the room. And I couldn't eat till the next day. Till afternoon. Then, as we began to pray in the afternoon, pray and pray and pray, after a while, I felt it is done. The burden has been lifted. I knew that God had achieved something. Are you with me? When last? And finally, this kind of supernatural betting is to bet the will of God in your life. The will of God in your life. Let me tell you something here. Everybody has a picture of something heavy they're supposed to become in the future. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In July, we're going to talk about it when I'm talking about betting transitions. Everybody, see, we all have a picture of how you ought to look like in the nearest future. There are some of you, God has shown you that, in this your tailoring job, this your tailoring business, one day you are going to be exporting clothes to the ends of the earth. Are you with me? That just the same way we have T.M. Lewis and Ralph Lauren. One day your own Sophie Dynasty. Your brand. That's a picture of greatness inside you as a seed. But you see something here. If you don't bet it, it will never come to pass. Let me show you something. Because on Sunday when I was telling people to pray. Look at John 16 verse 20 to 21. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye that weep, that ye shall weep and lament. Let's start together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned. That's a place to shout glory. What did he say? Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, how will it be turned into joy? Look at verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, had sorrow because her hour is come. See, have you ever had that feeling where you just get to a point where you're like, what is my life about? That sorrow you are feeling is a sign from God that an hour for change has come. So that sorrow is a indicator of a new time of travail. Are you getting me? It is like a woman carrying a baby in her womb. A time comes that she begins to have contractions. Something is telling her it's time for this baby to be born. Are you with me? So she must enter into the labor room to birth that baby. In the same way as a believer, as a Christian, as a person, you get to a point where you know, no. You are excited about everything that has been happening before. You are excited. You have been making progress. But at this point, sorrow has come in. Are you with me? It is a sign that your hour of change has come. So you enter into travail, man, takapa. That thing that is the next phase of my destiny must come out. It says, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Glory. So there is a joy that comes when that burden of a vision in your heart has come to pass. Nothing can give you joy more than that. Nothing can give you joy that you see yourself. Once upon a time, you were just writing songs. After a while, the world is singing your songs with you. Do you know what that means? It is something that was once in your heart. You have given birth to it.
in your, see, there is nothing as beautiful as once upon a time you had a dream of a business. You had this idea of this company in your mind. It was in your mind, but you're like, how will it happen? How will I manage my 9-to-5 job and make this business come to pass? Then, as you travel in the spirit and give it birth to it, God begins to connect you supernaturally. Then one day you stand and say, once upon a time it was a dream. Now it has happened. You know what is happening? You have given birth to a joy. So, to birth the will of God in your life, you need to enter into travel. Let me tell you something. If you don't pray and fast on the things that God has said, you know, like I was trying to say on Sunday, you don't wait for the promises. You wait on the promises. So, you have to wait on some things to happen. The same way a chick will not hatch if the mother hen is looking at it. She has to sit on it. She cannot be waiting for the egg to hatch. She has to wait on the egg to hatch. Tell me, I will bet the will of God in my life. I want to close on these notes. See, the real thing you need in your life is not money. Oh. The real thing you need in your life is not connection. It is that the kingdom of God, meaning the thing that God wants to do in his kingdom through you, by you becoming the fullness of what he has planned, that is the thing that when it happens, all the things you are seeking for, you don't need to seek for them again. Are you with me? Oh, you are still there. My urgent 5K, urgent 10K, 100K. There is a way God will explode you and what you do. It's not 100K that will be your problem again. Are you with me? When you reach that level, kingdom has happened. When you now begin to reign as a king, instead it's you that will be giving people the 100K. The fullness of what God wants to do in the world through you, when it comes to manifestation, that is when you will now discover that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. There comes a point in time you say, no, it's time to travel. I have been here for too long. It's time to travel. God has shown me that many of you, you are global entities. So that's one. Oh God, if I can just have this small Kia Picanto. What kind of life is that? When you're supposed to gather like 50 people and say, no, I can see people have been on Legacy's Benz for too much. I just bought these 50 Kia Picantos for all of you. When you become, you are the ones that interface with kings. You are betting the things that God has put in your heart. Jump on your feet. Some of you, God has given you a school. You are going to build this school. That thing, that vision in your heart, you have to bet it. Can you begin to pray right now? Sabarata kapalandish Rodogobo seketelia Sebalaka.